missed out last night. I don't know what to say. If you missed out the night before, I really don't know what to say either. Hallelujah. If you missed this morning, my goodness, I don't know what to say about that for sure. Hallelujah. I think some people got touched a little bit this morning.
Amen.
Some things changed down deep, you know.
Amen.
Changed, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you tell she's been living with someone? Me and God. Mainly God. I'll give him all the credit and all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Just a twinge every now and then was me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I've had a wonderful time. My goodness, have I told you that yet? Hallelujah. Feeling the overflow all weekend. I don't even want to stop. I appreciate how you've hung in here this weekend. You came knowing, you know, what I preach, you know, about change in your life. You came knowing that, yet you just kept coming back. Now tonight, you're even here greater tonight than you were the first night. So, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I think we better back up just a little bit, though. I don't think there's been quite enough said about the first night. But we'll go a little farther, but I think I need to back up a little bit. How many in here have listened to the audios that were done at the preacher's conference in Peru? How many? Two? Three? Huh? Four? Three? Two? Three? Is that it? My goodness. Well, maybe we need to really back up. Hallelujah. Well, you really are missing out. I mean, they're there. You know, all you have to do is go and you can listen to them right there on the computer, or you can download them, you know. Or if you can't even do that, we'll make a way for you to get them. We'll make a way. We got ways to make sure that you get them. But they're free. They're free of charge. They're free. There's no catch to anything. You write me or you let me know. You know, let Pastor Shelley know or Pastor Cindy, you know, that you need these on CD. We'll make sure you get them. No problem. Powerful messages in that. You know, the first message, I believe, was 2 hours long, I believe. You know, down there, when I go down there, they don't expect me to be done in 30 minutes. They want their money's worth. Not that it's costing them anything. That's okay, you know. So, hallelujah. Those are good messages. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyhow, let's back up to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In chapter 3 of verse 1, you know, I didn't really cover that a lot, but basically Paul, he had already talked about the natural man not receiving the things of God for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned, you know, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play, as you know, is that you discern these things of what is right and what is wrong through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important for you to have the Holy Spirit active in your life, at work in your life. It's important for that, because if you don't get Him in on it, you could end up deceived and off in some cult. And end up, you know, you might even start with a salvation, and because you didn't have the Holy Spirit active in your life, then they were able to deceive you. The enemy would be able to send a servant of a cult or whatever into your life to deceive you and lead you off the wrong direction. You know, and he said, let no one depart from this foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he departs and he doesn't stick with that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and ends up in a cult like Mormons or Jehovah Witness or something like that, you'll not be saved. You'll not be saved. That's why you can lose your salvation. It's hard, but you can lose it. And you can be deceived and led astray and led the wrong way. Now, if you don't depart from this foundation and you stick with this foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and you get the Holy Spirit in on your act, get Him in on your life along with, you know, you see some people that they'll talk about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but you never hear them talk about getting in the Word of God. Well, it takes both. The Holy Spirit, He honors and backs up the Word of God. That's what He validates, is the Word of God. Well, you've got to get in there with the Word of God along with your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and He'll keep you on track that through your life, through your race here on earth, you'll be able to lay up to your account in heaven this reward in heaven. And the things that you do, more of it will stand this test of fire. That is not by the Holy Spirit and in line with the Word of God will be burned up like cheap trash. It'll just go up in a puff of smoke. But the main thing that He's after here, because some of them, you know, He said, look, I want to give you more, but I mean, I can't give you any meat. You're barely on the milk. There's envy, strife, and divisions among you. Some say you're of this, and some say you're of that, and some say you're of this. Is it not God that gives the increase? Yes, this person planted, this person watered, you know, but is it not God that gives the increase? See, He's the one that gets all the glory and all the credit when it's all said and done. And you might as well, along the way, begin to give Him glory for it.
Amen.
But He was talking about here, making sure, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we've been talking about the Word all weekend, even last night, were we not talking about the Word of God when we talked about the image and about how your confession was okay? It was okay, but you needed to add to it something else to break that wall down. Well, He's talking about here the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual to make sure that you stay on the right track and you're not deceived in your doctrine. You're not deceived in that trip that you're taking right now, in the race that you're running. That you're not deceived so that you don't end up unsaved and headed for hell. See? I mean, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they think they're right. They think they're right. They're serious about it, but they're seriously deceived. Well, you don't want to be deceived off in that area that you follow when I'm down the wrong path and end up in hell. Well, if you don't get in and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and begin to seek things out in the Word of God and begin to apply the Word of God to your life and begin to live your life according to the Word of God, you stand that chance of something happening. Because the enemy, he's looking to see what he can steal from you, and he'll not stop. If he can steal your salvation, He'll do that too. He doesn't stop. He takes you as far as He can take you away from your Father God. You're the one that lets Him by what you do in your life.
That's right.
If you take the Holy Spirit, fellowship with Him and the things that He provides and the Word of God and begin to apply it to your life, then you stop the enemy in his tracks from leading you down that primrose path. Another one of those hill folk expressions, primrose path. Looks good, but not right. See? So anyhow, he talked about here, he was talking about two things. He was talking about that you not be deceived out of your salvation, that you stay with that foundation of being born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was talking about also laying up to your account in heaven and doing the things that God called you to do and said in His Word to do, see. Well, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I do these things because I don't want my house to crumble. I want it to stay strong. I want it to stay strong. In fact, why don't you turn with me? Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, I need to find his will. You got it right here. It's called the Bible. You have his will right here. And the Holy Spirit is here to make sure that you follow the truth in the Word of God. As I said the other night, there's many people, many scholars that know, quote, the Word, unquote, than I do, much more of it. But they're also deceived. Religion and men's traditions, especially religion, has deceived them. See? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Have we not done those things? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Well, I don't see how anybody could cast out demons and, you know, and prophesy, practice lawlessness. Oh, yeah.
You know, hey, the gifts are without repentance. The gifts are going to operate because the gifts are not for the person that they're flowing through. He didn't give that gift that you have to you for you to have fun with. He gave it to meet needs in the body of Christ. That's what the gift is for.
Amen.
He's talking about here, he's saying, you might prophesy and you might cast out devils and have a great deliverance ministry. But do you really know me? Have you really done what's necessary to know me? Have you followed my word? Have you set your life upon my word? See. Well, let's go on a little bit farther because I want to avoid that, don't you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't want to get in heaven before Jesus. Find out, you know, that I didn't do everything that was necessary. So he says, therefore, in verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now notice what he says. He says, whoever hears my sayings and does them. Does them. You can hear about how fasting will put your flesh under and cause the Spirit of God and your born-again spirit to rise up and take over your life. You can hear about that over and over and over. But it's not just for you to hear. It's for you to apply it in your life.
Yeah.
You can hear Charlie Rogers and Dave Roberson talk about praying in tongues over and over and over and over. But unless you begin to apply it in your life, you're not going to be able to use it to build your house on the rock. You've got to begin to apply it in your life. See? And he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Well, I want to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. How many times have we seen people, it looked like everything was great, bright, you know, wonderful. They've got a wonderful life. Nice 2-3-car garage. 2 Mercedes in the garage. Wonderful house. Next thing you know, they're bankrupt. Next thing you know, they're fighting the battle for their life, and all that money and all that stuff meant nothing. How many times have we seen someone that was bound up in poverty? Bound up in poverty. Falling short in every area. Not able to do what God called them to do and finish their call because the poverty had them so bound up they weren't able to even have gas to go and do what God called them to do. How many times have we seen that? They're both the same. They're both the same. Their house is not built on the rock. They've not dug deep and built their rock and built their house from the foundation on up. It's shallow. It's up on top. And when the winds, the storms come. He's talking about the rains descended and the winds came. He's talking about the storms of life. He didn't say, if these come, their house will stand. He said, they will come. They will come. He guarantees you that the storms will come against your house. Which is worse? Someone that's bound up in poverty and can't complete the call of God on their life because they spend their life bound up in poverty, or one who's bound up in deceitfulness of riches and lives for money? Which one's worse? They're both the same.
Amen.
They're both the same. See? One's no better than the other. Because he wants you to take what he has given you and use it for the kingdom of God. And if you're lacking in an area, he already supplied that to you 2,000 years ago, and he wants you to walk into that grace that you may obtain it. And you're going to have to build your house on the rock. You're going to have to dig that foundation down to the bedrock. That's why in the Word of God it says not to put a novice in leadership.
Amen.
In the church. It's because they don't have their foundation dug and their house is too subjected to a storm too much. You know, it may look like, you know what a novice means in the Word of God? A newly planted one. A new convert. You can't put someone new in the body of Christ in a place of leadership because their foundation hasn't been dug. Their foundation hasn't been poured down to that bedrock. And the first time that Satan comes along, he's going to destroy them. And we're going to be responsible for their destruction because we're the one that put them in that place to be destroyed to begin with.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to take time and to build a foundation. We've been building and digging a foundation here for how long? When did I come here? You know, 98. We've been digging a foundation here. I started, Beth helped, David and Cindy come in and took over. They've been doing the same thing, digging that foundation, digging it deep, putting you on a foundation where you don't get rocked on your heels every time you turn around, where deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world doesn't take you out. and destroy you, where attacks on your body don't take you out and destroy you and shorten your call upon this earth. See, He wants you to complete your race. He wants you to finish your race, complete your call while you're here on earth. It's important. You're different. You heard Pastor Shelley talk about the angels this morning. You're different than the angels.
Amen.
You were born again. You became a child of God. And you were put here on earth for a reason.
Amen.
To do greater works than these. What is those greater works than these? How many really knows what the greater works than these were when He talked about that? It's getting others born again. That's the greater works than these.
Yeah.
With salvation.
Yeah.
Sure, He wants you to cast out devils and wants to do miracles through you and all that. But that wasn't what He was talking about in those verses. He was talking about you and I. Because we're born again, we're children of God, we have the capability of getting other people born again. Angels can't do it. We can do it. Well, He wants us to dig deep and to build that foundation that our house won't be shaken when that storm comes. And it will come. I don't care who you are, how much money you got, or how much money you don't got. That storm is going to come and rock your house. And it depends on how you've built that house, how you've redeemed your time, how you've used your time. It depends on how you've used your time whether your house is going to stand the test of that storm. It will come. It will come. It will come. Let's go on. Read this a little bit farther. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Because they didn't dig the foundation deep enough. You know, thank God for media now. You know, we can go on a website, you can let us know, we'll send you a CD. Thank God for media. You know, we can get the Word of God in your hands right away. From me, from Pastor Roberson, Gary Carpenter, David Lee, you know, we can get you the Word of God through several sources. But you're going to have to put that Word into practice. Just because you got it, just because you hear it, doesn't excuse you from digging the foundation deep and building your house on solid rock. You still got to do it. Even with all the media, even with all at your disposal, you still have to do it. And until you do, you're considered a novice.
That's right. That's right.
You've got to go ahead and take that's been given to you and begin to put it into your life, into action in your life, and begin to build your house upon the rock.
Hallelujah. Amen.
What is the rock? The sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, His written Word.
Well, I don't mind praying in tongues, but I don't know about that fasting.
That means I got to do without a few meals. Yeah, but you got to take everything in the Word of God and begin to build that house from that deep foundation. You know, you dig a house, you dig those piers down to solid bedrock is where you start when you're putting up a building. Usually, if they're putting up very much of a building, they'll dig down to bedrock and set those piers on the bedrock so it won't go anywhere. Well, it's the same way. That's what He's talking about here. Think about how long ago this was written. Yet the principle is still the same. You dig that foundation, you dig those piers down to bedrock so that house doesn't go anywhere. See? How do you do that? By doing these sayings of mine, He says.
Sure.
Well, he said, therefore. So what is it that he was talking about that we must look and see what it's there for? What is it that he's looking at? Well, I can tell you right now, we're not going to go all the way back there. I'm going to go a little bit farther with this. But I can tell you right now, he was just talking about judging others. Judging others for something that you're doing yourself. Casting your pearls before swine. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Lay not up your riches where they'll be moth-eaten, but where they'll be untouched. Lay your treasures up in heaven. Priorities. Priorities. Doing the things in the Word of God that are correct in His eyes. This subject starts way back over there. This subject starts actually, it probably starts, probably 6, chapter 6, somewhere along there. All of these, do these things. Was it there for? All of those things that preceded it. See? What are your priorities? You know, what's your reason for wanting more money? What's your reason for wanting to make more money? So it can be to lay up riches here on earth that can become gather rust or be moth-eaten? Or is it to lay up in heaven that when you get there, it'll be there to meet you because of what you did with it? Like getting souls born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. One of these things that you do to dig deep, to plant your foundation, to plant your piers of your house deep. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What things? Every need that you have in your entire life already given, but because you sought Him out and sought His righteousness, you developed the faith necessary to access the grace that He gave. Hallelujah. It all ties together. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and begin to meditate it out and find out what He was talking about.
How'd you get that out of it?
I have a teacher.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I sit now with the Word of God and I ask Him to come. Would you please come and teach me about this passage? Would you come and teach me this? What do you want to teach me today? Of course, if I don't crack my Bible and I don't begin to pray that heavenly prayer language that allows Him to come and work in my life, then it's not going to happen. I'm not going to get those things out of it, see, if I don't do that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, you know, we want to dig that foundation deep. Build that house on the solid rock. So we want to go to Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah, Jesus. Starting in verse 18. Matthew 13, starting in verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, who's the wicked one? He comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The seed sown, but he doesn't understand it. How many times have you heard a preacher get up? I'm going to pick on evangelists. Since I am one, I can go ahead and pick on them. I have that right. How many times have you heard an evangelist come, you know, in all his pompeity, all his pompousness, come and give you a stem winder of a message? You meet your neighbor outside the back door. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Do you know what he said? Oh, I just know it was wonderful. You can't tell me someone understood it. You know. It takes more than that. First of all, you have to have your ears open to receive. You have to have your heart in a position to receive what is being said. And it helps to have a servant that is going in with the Holy Spirit and saying what the Holy Spirit wants to say instead of what he or she wants to say themselves. Say. To be doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What is the message for the day? Well, I don't go in. I don't go into a church that needs the foundation dug and the house built from the foundation up and teach about putting on the roof. I don't do that. I don't do that. The Holy Spirit knows where each part of the body of Christ is at. I know where you're at when I come here. I know where you're headed. I go somewhere else, I know where they're at. I know where they're headed. Or I better.
Amen.
That's my job. That's what I'm called to do. And I have a helper. His name's the Holy Spirit. And He provides that for me. He shows me that. I lean on Him. I count on Him to show me that. But you know, I have to be ready. He can only use me to the extent that He's able to use me with. I see them come from all over the United States to the prayer center, have for all these years, and I get so tickled. I've been there so long, you know, I learned a long time ago, just sit back and watch what's going to happen. You know, most of the time I think it's God telling me, would you just sit back and see what's going to happen? You know, and they'll come, you know, and they'll come in all their pompousness about their gift, their great, mighty gift. We have brought it to you at the prayer center that you might enjoy our wonderful gift. It is a mighty, pleasing gift. God brought me from this place that you might enjoy my gift. 99.9 times out of 100, He brought them there to change things in their life that He might be able to use them to increase in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To dig their foundation a little bit deeper. And usually, it's to change some things that are wrong in their doctrine. That's usually what it is. Mm-hmm. Everybody else let them get away with the doctrine. You get to a place like that where you got a prophet in the crowd that is correcting doctrine, you don't get away with it. It don't work that way. See? So I get tickled sometimes. But He wants your foundation dug. And the enemy's going to come and he's going to try to steal that. He's going to try to steal that word that's given right away. Because if he doesn't steal it right away, he's got to work harder or do something different later on down the road to steal that word. So he's going to try pretty hard to do it right away. Well, let's take a look at this just a little bit farther. Just a little bit farther here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now the first one is snatched away right away when it's sown in his heart. But this one, It gets a little bit farther. This is one who hears the word, and immediately he receives it. He understands a little bit of it. He receives it right away. The other one didn't understand it. Either they wasn't ready to understand it, it was preached above his head, or maybe his heart wasn't open to receiving it, or maybe the deliverer, the servant that gave the word out, maybe he wasn't in the place he should have been. But now this one here has a little bit more. He receives it. Immediately he receives it with joy. He understands it a little bit here. He understands the word. Yet it has no root in himself. It only endures for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He stumbles because here comes persecution. He received this word with joy. He understood it. He didn't get much growth because he didn't act upon the word. He didn't put it into action in his life. Immediately, he should have put it into action in his life. It didn't get a chance to take root. It didn't get down deep. He didn't get to build much of a foundation with it. And here come the enemy. Well, the enemy had to try a little bit harder on this one, but he was able to steal this word in this person's life because he didn't put it into action. He heard it. He received it with joy, but he didn't continually act upon it. He didn't continually put it into action in his life. Let you not just be hearers of the word, but be also doers of the word also. See. Now he who received the word, he who received seed, that's the only seed in the word of God. It's not money. You can't find in there where money is seed. The word of God is the seed. He said, now he who receives seed, or the word, however you want to say it, among the thorns, he who hears the word and the cares of this world. Okay, he's heard the word. He's received the word. He's heard the word. He's started to put it into action. And he's been putting it into action. But then he lets up a little bit. He's among the thorns, you know. He still has to live in this world. He lets up a little bit. You know, it was a wonderful word. He got a lot out of it. Understood it. Understood it. Yes, I know what fasting will do for my life. It puts the flesh under and puts me into a place I can receive more from God. Yes, I know what praying in tongues does. It delivers me to that communication with God, that I can find the plan and will of God for my life. Yes, I understood it. I know it. I even prayed in tongues a while. But you know, I was supposed to pray every Saturday morning for 4 hours, once a week. But you know, we had some things to get at Walmart. You know, so I thought it would be okay this Saturday to go ahead and go to Walmart and forget that 4 hours. You thought I was going to let Walmart off this tonight, didn't you? Fooled you, didn't I? And not only that, well, if I'd done it this Saturday, I can do it next Saturday. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of what? Deceitfulness of what? Choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Doesn't say he wasn't saved. Doesn't say he wasn't born again. Says he becomes unfruitful. Why? Because he let Satan come in and steal the word of God from his life and steal those things that he knew he was to be doing to build his house on the rock. That when the storm came, Satan came against his house would still be standing. See, Satan's going to come against your house. The word calls it an evil day.
Right.
You're going to have an evil day. In Ephesians, he talks about your evil day. You're going to have an evil day. For some, it might be an evil day in their body. For me, it was an evil day in my body. He came with an evil day. For some, it might be an evil day in their body. For others, it might be emotions. It might be a mental thing. For others, it might be a financial thing. Or maybe a combination of things. How about the loss of a loved one? I'm not talking about physical, although that could be an evil day. Because it's destroyed a lot of people. Destroyed them totally to lose a loved one. They didn't ever recuperate from it. That has happened. But how about losing a loved one through deception? Being deceived and taking down the wrong path and ending up in hell even though they were once saved at one point. How about that? How about that? How bad would it be to end up in heaven without your relatives? I can't even imagine it. I can't be in heaven without my relatives. I can't be in heaven without my family, without my sons, without my daughters, without my daughter-in-laws, without my grandchildren. I can't be in heaven without them. I can't be in heaven without my favorite aunts and uncles. Or with any of my aunts and uncles. Even them that might not be a favorite here on earth. I can't be in heaven without them. I can't be in heaven without my enemies. Because I know somewhere in there is a friend. I can't do that. Well, if I let the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choke out what I know to do in the Word of God, it's going to stop my house from being built on that rock. And when that storm comes, it's going to destroy it. Because I didn't dig deep enough and dig the foundation deep enough to put my house on solid rock to withstand that storm that comes. See? You can't let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches destroy you or take things from you. If you're called to make money from the gospel, don't get out of the Word of God. Don't break fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but stay in there with the Holy Spirit. Stay in there doing the Word of God. What is doing the Word of God? Worship, confession, meditating the Word of God. Fasting. All of those things. Don't get away from them, because what you're doing is you're stopping the devil from stealing from you what is rightfully yours. And mainly, that's the Word of God and His plan for your life and your family. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Get that image before you. I see them born again. I see them in heaven. Keep that word before you. Keep that image before you. Did you enjoy that message last night?
Amen.
Did that change your life? Did that cause a brick wall to fall down to pieces? Hallelujah.
I've been butting up against that brick wall all my life. I've confessed. And I'm blue in the face from confession.
You just need to add the image factor to it. If you confess long enough, you'll get the image. But why not start ahead of time and begin to put that image before you with your confession? You know, He said you could have it. God sees them born again. How do you see them?
I say they're born again.
I tell you this, I not only say they're born again, I see them born again.
Amen.
I see somebody else entering their path that can get them born again. I don't care if I'm the one to get them born again, long as they're born again. That's all that matters to me. But if that's what it's going to take for me to do it, I'm your man. So Satan, he comes to steal this word. He'll steal it from some right away, if he can. Give me an example. You come in here, you sit in here, you're this word. You leave here and you're indifferent. You haven't received one part of this message. You walk out. You're the same as when you came in. You don't have anything to put, because you didn't receive it, so you don't have anything to put in action. He already stole it, folks, before you got to the door.
Amen.
So then, you receive the word because of some things in your life. Unforgiveness. Ought. It can't take root. You have a stony heart, stony ground. It can't take root. It can't go down. Immediately, Satan comes. After just a little bit. After just a little bit. Tell them to wait. Who's ever that was, tell them to wait. I'll be done in just a moment. It doesn't take root because of things in your life. And he's able to take it from your life in just a little while. Then, you come in, you receive it with great joy, and you understand it. You start, you have good intentions of putting it into action. I leave here on Sunday night or Monday morning, and you start the next week putting it into action for about a week. For about a week. You pray in tongues like setting a house on fire. But while you're praying in other tongues, burning up ground, praying in other tongues, you look out, the lawn's getting taller and taller. It really needs mowed. I think I could stop and go mow the lawn. So you stop and you go mow the lawn. You have full intentions of getting back in prayer. A week later, you're still not back in prayer. The lawn needs mowed again, so I can't go back into prayer. Because the lawn needs mowed again. Besides that, I hear Walmart calling. And they have a lot more things that I need for my house. They have a lot more things that would make my life easier. Oh yeah, wouldn't you love to go to Wichita this weekend? Instead of going to prayer on Friday night and service on Sunday morning, let's go to Wichita. We'll have a wonderful time. We deserve a weekend off. Sure you do. Sure you do. Stand on your feet. We could go a little farther, but you know what I believe? I believe I gave you a little bit to chew on, didn't I? Say, I love.
I love.
Charlie Rogers. You have to decide what you're going to make a priority. We're talking about a life here. We're talking about a life change. I'm a firm believer in extended fast. So last night, we were having this discussion about fasting. Pastor Shelley talks about serious fasting. And I'm okay with serious fasting if it'll get you started. That's the main thing. However, at some point, to really do yourself some good and really break into where you need to be in God, the extended fasting is where you're going to have to be sooner or later. But it's all right to start on the serious fasting, a day on, a day off, a day on, a day off. We were talking about one fellow that endorses serious fasting, a day on, a day off. You know, and everybody likes to talk about him and how he's raised people from the dead. Has a wonderful ministry, David Hogan. I get tickled because usually most of the people that I confronted with that talk about the serious fasting, well, I'm going to do some serious fasting, day on, a day off. They're talking about 5 days or a week's worth. David Hogan, he talks about 12 months worth. Pastor Shelley said, you know, he means a lifetime of fasting. I said, yes, if you fast a day on, a day off for 12 months, and you start over again, I would call that a life of fasting. You know, that's the way it is, see. It's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. That's how he looks at it. A day on, a day off for 12 months, and then he starts again on January 1st. Yes, that would be a life of fasting. And you would accomplish quite a bit. You would accomplish a lot. But when he doesn't talk about a day on, a day off for 5 days. Well, I believe whatever it takes for you to get started, that's what I want. You know, and we even went into a session on fasting the last time I was here. So I asked the Lord if he wanted me to take it farther tonight. He did not. He wanted to go this route. I'm going to do what he wants. But I will tell you this. If you put off fasting, you're just putting off using a key that can take you farther into where he wants you to be in your walk with him. See? And every part, every key plays a part in your life with God. You know, tongues play a part. Tongues, you know, if you're going to divide up a day, say you have a 5-hour day that you're going to use to seek God, you got 5 hours, I'd put at least 3 of it into praying in other tongues. If you really want to be right about it. See, but every one of these keys, you know, whether it be praying in other tongues, praying in the understanding, confession, meditating the Word, all of them play a part, including fasting. In fact, he said in there, when he talked about, you know, and this is the famous verse that deliverance ministries try to use. This one comes out by prayer and fasting. Okay, all right, if you've got a deliverance ministry, that means you must have to pray and fast. But I don't have a deliverance ministry, so I don't have to pray and fast. That's not correct. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about getting people free and getting yourself free on top of it. And he said, this comes out by prayer and fasting.
Right.
See? Those are called what we've labeled the power twins. Prayer and fasting. Delivers you to a power that sets you free, or sets your relative free, or your church free, or your family free. Prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. But every one of them play a part.
I'll do one, but I'm not going to do the other.
Then you're going to be that cripple with polio in the body of Christ we talked about. That spiritual polio. You're going to walk around in those spiritual braces and not have everything that God intended for you to have because you chose to take one part but not the other parts. You're not going to be vaccinated against deception.
You having a good time yet?
Yeah.
If you haven't by now, it's too late. Hallelujah. So good to see my friends from Elkhart here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Took the evening and drove over. Depends on how hungry you are. You know, that's what it comes down to, how hungry you are. Those that are hungry will come along. Those that are not hungry will be at home. Look around you. The truth. I know you may not like it, but it is the truth. Hallelujah. This line is one of those...